Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello everyone and welcome to this week's edition of the Spanish Football Podcast. I'm Phil Kittram, ladies, joined as ever by festive Sid Lowe, who's really in the Christmas spirit. He's got his reindeer antlers on, he's got a Christmas hat on as well, he's also got a Christmas jumper on. He looks really like I've never seen anyone be more festive. Hello, Sidney.
Hello, Philip. You might not be telling the truth.
None of those things are true. I did another podcast today with some people who are wearing Christmas jumpers and getting into the festive spirit. And I was wearing a black T-shirt. I said, I'm not getting into this. I'm not involved in this nonsense. And I'm very glad that you and me are on a similar level.
Yep, I'm also wearing black.
And yawning and generally a little bit jaded and really not that fast.
I've spent the last hour moving the same paragraph around. And go, no, it doesn't go in there, and it doesn't go in there. It doesn't go in there. Yes, I'm not having the best of days.
I'm excited to see where it does finally go. So do let us know.
I might just put it in the bin, but then it's the whole point of the bloody piece. And so now I've created a piece around a concept which I'm now thinking doesn't actually work. Anyway.
This is a wonderful insight into how things work. If you're wondering how Sid writes his articles, by the way, it is actually an insight because Sid spends bloody ages writing his articles, really gives everything of himself. And you can tell it because it also takes a lot out of him. And a little bit jaded at the moment. But let's perk you right up, Sidney, and talk about what happened on match day 17. Shall we do that?
Yeah, good idea.
Right, speaking of perking oneself up, I should not talk about what happened on Friday. I was genuinely so upset that Rayo conceded with the last kick of the game to lose 1-0 at Osasuna. Third year in a row that Rayo have conceded in injury time to lose away at Osasuna. I went to bed absolutely furious, and then I was angry with myself for getting angry because it's only football. At least Spurs won on Friday night. But yeah, it wasn't good. But a big win for Osasuna. They really needed that. Huge win for Celta Vigo, who beat Granada by a goal to nil in a game which could really have decided Rafa Benitez's future. Had he lost that, he might have been out. But he didn't. They won. Only their second win of the season. And he is safe for the time being. Athletic Club absolutely pulverised Atletico Madrid at San Mamés on Saturday afternoon. It only finished 2-0 to Athletic, but genuinely at half-time, it could have been 4 or 5-0 to Athletic, who hit the post three times. They missed a penalty as well. They were absolutely brilliant. We'll talk more about them in just a moment. Sevilla, it was the final game in charge for Diego Alonso, as we suspected it might be. Didn't think it would finish quite like this, but they were beaten 3-0 at home by Getafe, and Sevilla were absolutely woeful. Really good performance from Getafe. And the final game in charge for Diego Alonso, who had 11 matches across the Champions League and La Liga and didn't manage to win any of them. Quite literally, the worst manager in Sevilla's history. We're expecting Kike Sanchez Flores to be named as his replacement any moment. And by the time he listens,
in fact, he has been. Well, I don't know if he's been officially named, but he's turned up at the station and told everyone he was going there. So I don't know if there's an actual sort of announcement, but maybe it's just the short walk from Santa Justa to the Pizjuan, and they've just got to wait 10 minutes for him to get there.
So Kike Sanchez Flores is the new manager of Sevilla, and he has got an enormous amount of work to do. Then on Saturday night, Valencia and Barcelona played out a 1-1 draw. Barcelona once again dropping points. Xavi once again pretty happy with how they played. but not a good result for Barca. Then on Sunday, Almeria 0, Mallorca 0, Real Sociedad 0, Betis 0, although the La Real Betis game was really quite fun, really quite exciting, and plenty of chances at either end. Las Palmas and Cadiz finished 1-1, and Real Madrid really steamrolled Villarreal 4-1 at the Bernabeu. Real Madrid really very good indeed, Villarreal really not. Monday night, I hope everyone does their homework. Hashtag always watch Girona, the side who will go top of the table if they win, are at home to Alaves. So a bit of pressure on Girona, actually. Interested to see how they get on for the first time. There's a bit of pressure, bit of expectation. Everybody thinks they're going to beat Alaves. Everybody's expecting them to go top of the table. Let's see how they deal with it. Right, to the talking points of Matchday 17. But before we get to that, Sydney, this is what you would do if you weren't part of TSFP. You would give the gift of TSFP to the Spanish football fan in your life this Christmas, wouldn't you, Sid?
I certainly would. In fact, I would give it to many Spanish football fans in my life.
What you'd do is you'd sign them up for annual membership at patreon.com/TSFP, and you get 10% off. Patrons get a bonus podcast and a Q&A pod every single week, plus one episode a month of TSFP Presents and Rincón Cultural. You get Al's occasional paper reviews, and they can join the fantastic community of people who genuinely love Spanish football and love talking about it, exchanging ideas, thoughts and jokes on the TSFP Discord. Join us. It's around €4 a month. And even someone who's just got a passing interest in Spanish football, I think they get something out of it, because there's something for everyone at patreon.com/TSFP. Right, that was the big sale, Sid. It was the last pod before Christmas.
Very good.
Had to really give it. Okay. All right. Let's get to the talking points. You were at the Bernabeu. Were you at the Bernabeu last night?
No, I was not. Against? No.
You weren't. No.
I had a very strange weekend. I did lots of football watching on telly. It was quite odd.
You're going to tell us why you had a strange weekend?
Well, I had all sorts of... Well, there's a... There's a tremendous episode of Rincón Cultural to come off the back of this. I did one of those driving courses where they...
Speed awareness
where they
course.
Give you back the point... Yeah, where they... It wasn't actually for speed, but anyway, where they give you back the points they took off you if you go through a very, very long process. And it was absolutely surreal.
Yes.
And that took out quite a lot of my weekend.
Can confirm that I was getting sort of minute by minute updates from Sid on the lunacy of what was the Spanish Speed Awareness course, that it was really quite extraordinary. And I think we might do a full episode of Rincón Cultural on it, because it was quite quite bizarre. Anyway, you weren't at the Bernabeu. Al was. You and I were both watching on telly. Real Madrid beating Villarreal by 4-1. We'll get to the performance and some of the individual brilliance of Modric and Bellingham in just a second. The big news from this game, Sid, is that there was yet another ACL tear for a Real Madrid player. Mm. It's the third of the season. David Alaba is out for the rest of the campaign, joining Courtois and Militao. Ancelotti says he's never had three ACL injuries in 4 months. I mean, you know, struggling to think of anything similar. It's really quite extraordinary. And now the talk is if they'll sign anyone in January.
Yeah, and logic suggests that they do.
Really? Do you think they will?
Well, we were talking about this off air, but actually, to be fair, you and Al were talking about this off air, and I came into it slightly late. But there's a recall they can Marin from Alaves, who they could bring back. Ancelotti was asked yesterday about what the options are, and he said the first choice is Tchouaméni, and he said that that's probably where he'll play. I must admit, I slightly misinterpreted that, because I initially thought, well, hang on, surely the first choice is Nacho, but it meant the first choice of the ones that weren't natural central defenders in the squad. So you've got Nacho and you've got Tchouaméni who can go into the team alongside Rudiger. I wouldn't be at all surprised if they sign someone. The question, I suppose, then becomes who, and do you sign someone that you know probably then won't play when everyone is fit again, or do you sign someone that you think is good enough level that you're buying someone permanently rather than a stopgap replacement? I guess you probably don't necessarily want a starter, because then you do create problems for yourself later on, and maybe even in truth you create problems for yourself in the short term, because Nacho probably wouldn't be very pleased. And I think the evidence of the way that Nacho performs is that, I'm going to use that horrible cliche that everyone uses about him, that he's reliable, that he doesn't let you down. But I think Madrid will have to do something. What I don't know, and I will confess this openly, I don't know enough about the quality of the central defenders in the Castilla side. So I don't know if there's a natural promotion that can be made from there.
I think the two first choice centre backs are actually injured for Castilla, so they're not in great shape either.
Right.
I mean, for me, bringing back Rafa Marin is the obvious solution. You've got a player who's been playing in La Liga this season who would be absolutely delighted to try and help out at Real Madrid and get a chance in the first team. He started 9 games for Alaves so far this season, so he's got plenty of minutes in the division. The question is, I don't know the terms of his loan, but I mean people are suggesting that he does have a chance of coming back. So that would be an option. I can't see Real Madrid going into the market. That's the thing. I really don't think that they'll go and buy someone in January. So I think they'll try and either bring him back or try and just get over it with Tchouaméni as a backup, maybe Mendy as a centre-back. I don't know.
Mendy could play there in theory, and not least, of course, because Madrid have plenty of other options at left-back. So it's not like if you lose Mendy, then you've got a problem, you've got to fill in at left-back, because you can find, well, Fran Garcia can play there, obviously, when he's fit again. Camavinga can play there, although maybe you don't want Camavinga to, because you're already moving Tchouaméni out of midfield, and so therefore Camavinga becomes Tchouaméni's position. And one of the remarkable things actually about Madrid's performance level and results this year is that they've done it with really genuinely significant injuries. Mm. We've barely talked about the absence of Vinicius, who last year we would have said is their best player. Mm. In fact, we might even have had him down. I think last year there would have been periods when we'd have said he's in the top 5 in the world. Yes. And you know, he's been missing for what, 8-9 weeks, and we've hardly noticed.
Mm. All right, we'll see how Real Madrid deal with this big blow. If there's something you want us to talk about, remember, send us a question for tomorrow's Q&A podcast. To some of the individual performances then, Jude Bellingham scored his 13th league goal in his 15th league appearances. Rodrigo has got 8 goals in his last 5 games. And Brahim has got 2 goals and an assist in the last 3 games. Al's got here in the production notes, looks a decent attacking trio. All 3 of them played really well. The Brahim goal is absolutely sensational.
Yeah,
individual
brilliant
goal. Rodrigo's is a sort of smart, close-range finish. And Jude Bellingham's is a magnificent header after a really quite ridiculous ball in from Luka Modric, who played, Luka Modric, an absolutely incredible game. I was just staggered at how good he was. Not because we know Luka Modric is very good at football, but to come in at 38 and to turn it on like that, not just the skill, not just the passes he was spraying around, the pressing, Sid, the pressing, leading the pressing from the front. He was the one who was pressing the Villarreal centre-backs. It was an extraordinary performance from Modric, I thought.
And it really paid off as well, didn't it? Because Villarreal struggled with that really quite badly. In fact, surprisingly badly. Mm. But they really did struggle with that. And you're right, Modric's energy, Modric's attitude, I think obviously he feels like he has a point to prove. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I don't think there's any doubt at all that he's unhappy about the fact that he's not played more. Injuries give him the opportunity now to make a case that keeps him in the side. Now, obviously, there will be types of games in which you're more or less likely to play Modric. It will be depend as well on this ongoing injury problem and whether you lose Tchouaméni from there into the defence, albeit you know, he's not played recently anyway. What happens with Camavinga when he's fit again and so on. But I think we are going to see quite a lot of minutes from Modric this year. I suppose the question then becomes, do Madrid prolong this whole thing for another season? Does Modric want to prolong this whole thing for another season? Because right now, you don't look at that squad and think, we could afford to lose Modric. You look at that squad and think, we can't afford to lose this guy. Even if it's true, when everyone's fit, you might not start him. But they play better with him in the team.
They did. They played really, really well. And you're right. His pressing made things very, very uncomfortable for Villarreal, who are really disappointing, Sid. I mean, Villarreal are shipping lots of goals since Marcelino took over. 3 goals in each of their last 3 matches. And he says, the manager, if they keep defending like that, they'll be relegated. They're not far, you know, they're only 3 points above the drop zone.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly as you say, his point, you know, 9 goals in 3 games, you don't do that. Mm. You don't do that and survive. It just doesn't happen. There are enough poor teams around them. I think there are enough good players in their team that you feel like they should be able to turn it around. But then, you know, we've seen 2 different managers have difficulties with it. I think that we have a degree of faith in Marcelino because everywhere he's been just about has been successful, except possibly the brief spell at Sevilla, and although things were successful, it didn't end very well at Villarreal last time. Although that, you know, that problem has been overcome because it was largely about him and the president and some of the players, but fundamentally about him and the president. And I think that's been overcome by needs. And I don't think they will be in trouble for very much longer. But you're right, this is too many goals to be letting in. And he will, I think, Marcelino, try to address that very, very directly. And I think that if his career so far is anything to go by, he will address that with straight lines. He will address that with a midfield four that gets quite close to the defensive four and a team that doesn't play entirely on the break, but largely plays on the break. Mm. And he's able to play a bit deeper and protect the back four.
On to Valencia 1, Barcelona 1. Another game in which Barcelona dropped points. Three games without a win. They're 7 points off the top of the table, which could be 9 tonight if Girona win. In recent weeks, Xavi has maybe upset some Barcelona fans with his discourse post-matches, suggesting that his team played well, but they just didn't take their chances and they played well enough to win. I think if any of the performances deserved that kind of analysis, maybe it was this one, because actually they were in control of this game, it felt like, and they didn't look like they were going to lose it before Hugo Guillamón popped up and scored a wonder goal on his first start of the season.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I do think they played okay in this. I do think they created sufficient chances. Xavi talks about efficiency and you look at the numbers and that backs that up. I think you're absolutely right to frame it the way you do, though, which is that in recent weeks, while Xavi could grab the numbers and say, look at the shots we take and we should have scored more goals and we can count ourselves a little unlucky and we've played okay, the eye test didn't always bear that out. You would watch them and think, I'm not entirely convinced by this. I'm not sure that I'm seeing a particularly good team. You know, he talked about bad luck at Vallecas, for example, and I just don't think that stands up at all. You know, even the Atletico Madrid game, when I think they were the better side and I think they did play pretty well, in the last 25 minutes, they very nearly didn't get the victory. And possibly taking that last part of the game, you'd say they were a little fortunate to get the victory. You then look at Athletic Bilbao and they win in the last minute. They've had lots of performances when actually they've got more than they deserved. And so I understand Xavi's position. I think it's entirely human as well to say, oh, we could have got more and we deserve more and I feel sorry for a team. And you know, he said this after the Clasico, for example. But you look at the way they won the league last year and it was almost the complete opposite. This team was incredibly efficient despite not always being particularly impressive. Now you might say, well, I've seen more games when they've created chances. But first of all, there aren't that many more of them. In fact, I don't think there's that many at all. And secondly, well, this time it's biting you. I do think it poses questions about Lewandowski. I think it poses questions about the chances missed by Rafinha at times as well. I think it poses questions about the contribution of goals from deeper positions, from the midfielders as well. But he's right on this occasion. That said, if you look at the Hugo Guillamón goal, at the risk of sounding very English, right, that ball bounces around the edge of the penalty area, I think twice, maybe even three times. No one puts a challenge in. No one even seems to kind of, you know, buffer up against any of the Valencia players. Given how little space there is, Hugo Guillamón is afforded quite a lot of it. There's a weakness in the challenge. It's at times, I think, a bit easy to say this, but you watch it again and you saw there's lots of people kind of standing there watching it. And yes, it's risky to go flying into challenges around the edge of the area. Yes, it's risky to potentially give away a free kick in that position. And yes, it's true, this is about the only moment that Valencia have, apart from the chance they get very, very, very early on in the game, about 2 minutes in. But it's so badly defended, and the most basic elements of defending as well, which is part of the reason why I'm now sounding like a rant, because I look at it and think, oh, it's amazing to see a professional team handle something that simple that badly.
Sounds a little bit like a rant, yeah, but that's fine. That's what we're here for. You're allowed to rant.
Looking to refresh your closet, home, or beauty routine this spring? Walmart's got all the stylish goods in one stop. From chic new looks and the latest makeup to quality furniture and tableware. Go to walmart.com/nowtrending. That's walmart.com/nowtrending for the hottest fashion, home, and beauty finds. Your style at Walmart.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The holidays have arrived early with Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale. Upgrading window coverings can be a minor project with a major impact. Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Browse premium blinds, shades, shutters. We have your patio covered too. And get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Free shipping and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale now. Save up to 45% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Shout out to Valencia, by the way, who, okay, they're not on their necessarily best run of form in terms of victories. I think it's five or six games without a win, but they're sitting 10th in the table. They're 7 points above the relegation zone. They are doing considerably better than some of us thought they would do at the start of the season. So.
Yeah. I'm going to throw a caveat in there, though, which is to say that those figures are partly propped up by what they did early in the season. So although they get a decent result against Barcelona this time around, for example, I think you look at it and you think, okay, but are they performing in a way that suggests that they stay in 10th, or do they start to slip down? Now, admittedly, they've got, correct me if I'm wrong, I think they've got something like a 4-point gap from anything that looks problematic, if you see what I mean. So you've got, they're on 20, aren't they? And I think you have to go down to 16 before you start getting into that cluster of teams in relegation zone. So it's not just that they're somewhere off the relegation zone in terms of points and positions, but it's also...
There's a lot of teams between them.
There's quite a big jump between them and the mess and the moment in which you start thinking, I'm going to get dragged into it. But I've just brought up their stats here to see if I could stand up what I was saying. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So it's only 2 wins in 9. And so they won 3 of their first 5 games. And so at that point, you think, wow, they're doing really well. And since then, I think you'd be a little bit more concerned about it. In that spell, they've beaten, I think it's Cardiff and, in fact, I'll look it up for you, Cardiff and Granada. So they've not beaten great teams. Now, all right, they've got a draw against Atletico, which is actually a really good result away from home. A draw at Celta, which isn't a great result. And that draw against Barcelona, which is a bit fortunate. But I do think you look at it and think, yeah, it's all right. But I don't think they will breathe that easily yet, although they've got a really important cushion, there's no doubt about it. You know, they're halfway to salvation already.
They're also propped up by the fact that there are two sides that are looking almost relegated. Almeria on 5 points and Granada on 8 points. That's going to help everyone else out unless they start turning things around in pretty spectacular fashion. Speaking of spectacular, we've got to talk about Athletic Club, Sid, and that absolute destruction of Atletico Madrid at San Mamés. You said this was the performance of the season so far from Athletic, and it was on their 125th birthday celebration.
Yeah, I think it might be the best performance I've seen from any team in La Liga this season. I'm sure that if I sat here now and went through the Girona games, I could probably come up with 2 or 3 that would challenge it. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2 or 3 probably. But I don't think I've watched a game this season and thought, wow, you are brilliant.
Did you watch Girona away to Barcelona?
Yes.
You watched that one, yeah.
I think that was a more enjoyable game because it was more open. But in terms of one team just blowing the other team apart, I thought this was even more striking. And Girona, I think, are brilliant. And you're right, Girona are the obvious other choice. And I think the Barcelona game is definitely one of them that's up there. I think that might have been the best game of the season so far. But I just think in terms of that sense of, you know, you're playing against a team that in theory is really, really good. And you do not give them a hope in hell in the whole game. You beat them 2-0 and it should be 3 times that. You just... dominant, and there was a kind of a breathlessness about it as well, the way they went at Atletico. I think they had the best winger in La Liga is Williams, and the second best winger in La Liga is Williams. And Athletic, one of the things that's really interesting, I think, this season is you're getting more goals than ever from Iñaki, having put him out to the wing. You're getting assists from Iñaki and assists from Nico. I think the role of Sanset coming through the middle has been really important. But Guruceta has been really interesting as well, because Guruceta not only has 8 goals, which is well on course for being his best season. His best season was 13 with Amorebieta in the second division when they went down. And I think last year at Athletic he got 5 or 6. But it's not just the goals. I actually think he's a really interesting forward. And I think one of the reasons why we're seeing goals from Iñaki, despite playing nominally wide, is because Guruceta, and forgive me for saying this, and I realise I'm taking a big leap here, but bear with me. Benzema. in that Gudelfetter is very, very good. Yeah, exactly. I knew you were going to say that, and you're absolutely right too. But let me explain what I mean. Gudelfetter, I think, is very good at being the forward that others can play off, but also being at the, being the forward that can vacate the space to allow others to go into it. And I think he's really quite clever. I think he's a much better centre forward than he looks. A much better footballer than being a centre forward implies. Now, obviously, Benzema is a huge leap. But what I mean is, in terms of the kind of positions he's prepared to take up and the kind of spaces he's prepared to vacate.
That's very interesting you say that. I mean, obviously I value your opinion higher than, you know, almost anyone else. And speaking about Spanish, well, and they're more than anyone else, but I just, Gudelfetter seems to me quite, like, technically sort of considerably more limited than almost everyone else.
Oh, no, technically, I'm not talking about the technique here. I'm absolutely not talking about the technique. I think he's quite good for others to play off in that he can be that body, if you're something that you go to and you get the ball back off.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think the thing, I'm not talking about Benzema technique-wise. I'm talking about Benzema in terms of the willingness to vacate spaces.
Okay. And sort of intelligence allow others to come into space them. Awareness. Okay.
And I think there's something in him that's really quite interesting, because you're right, you look at him and you don't think there's a technically gifted player at all. Mm. But I think he gets it. Mm. I think he understands something, and I can't quite put my finger on it, but I think that's part of why it's working. Also, of course, it's also true that you're getting wingers who are, and I was actually going through the assist providers this season to try and work this out, because I'm trying to work out where the assists are coming from. There's a lot of assists from wider positions, so sometimes from the fullbacks. So you see assists from Berenguer when he plays. You see assists sometimes from Lecque when he plays. And I think obviously Gudelfetter is a beneficiary of that, but I think I think other players are beneficiaries of him. Mm. And I think Iñaki is the obvious example of this.
Okay, we've got to move on. No time to discuss Atleti, but we will try to on the Q&A podcast if someone asks us about them. Diego Alonso's gone then, Sydney. Kiko Sanchez-Flores is incoming. Diego Alonso had to leave. It just was not viable. And that performance from Sevilla was maybe the players making the bed, as they say in Spanish. Certainly, it didn't feel like they were playing to try and save the manager. It really was quite extraordinary how poor they were. Is Kike Sanchez-Flores the man to turn things round for Sevilla?
I guess the analysis of that depends on our analysis of what's wrong with them. Because Kike did an exceptional job turning around Getafe the last time he was there. Mm-hmm. And then obviously things drifted away from him a bit. And that job was based in part on creating I don't know how to describe it. I suppose I'd call it a psychological well-being, a complicity between him and the squad, more than a direct tactical approach. Although his tactical approach was a very, very clear. I don't think I may even have said this at the time, I'm not sure. I don't think I've ever seen a team play a 5-3-2 that was quite such obvious straight lines of 5-3-2. Normally when you play a five at the back, you know, the two wing backs, the two wide men are kind of a little bit higher. Or they're in sort of intermediary positions between defenders and midfielders. And the three in the midfield, well, one's a little bit deeper and the other two are slightly in front. With him, I remember taking a photograph of this and probably putting it on Twitter, but I'm not sure. And it was five in a dead straight line, three in a dead straight line, and two in a dead straight line. And then what I remember actually asking him in a post-game press conference how he worked on that defensive line. And I said, you know, famously, Arrigo Sacchi would have his defenders tied together with rope to make sure they stayed in line. I said, and I've watched your defence today and I'm really struck by how straight that line is and how kind of rigid it is. And he talked a little bit about the tactical approach. So that I think may be part of it. Whether Sevilla are built to play that way, I'm not entirely sure. I think it might be a little bit deeper, but I think the main thing will be him trying to reach them as much as people as it will be him trying to reach them as players. And I think they need something, because, you know, there's a degree of talent in that team. In fact, there's quite a high degree of talent in that team. I think it's an old team and I think it's a slightly slow one. But I think there's enough there that they should be able to survive. But I tell you what, if they don't get a good start, and if it looks like Kike isn't connecting with them quickly, I don't know where it leaves them.
because the, you know, they're not that far off kind of a nervous breakdown at this point.
They're level on points with Celta Vigo, 13 points. Celta Vigo, the final team in the relegation spot. Sevilla do have a game in hand, although it is away to Atletico Madrid. Before we go, it would be remiss of us not to reflect on the round of 16 draw in the Champions League, which has been made, of course, a quarter of those teams coming from the best league in Europe, La Liga.
Yep.
With
all group winners as well.
All group winners, all seeded, and all with some interesting ties. Barcelona drawn against Napoli. Inter Milan against Atletico Madrid in the Diego Simeone derby. PSG against Real Sociedad. And Real Madrid taking on RB Leipzig. The PSG-Real Sociedad tie is a very, very, very interesting one. Not least because a lot of people are thinking Real Sociedad are going to knock them out. Like, genuinely, I'm surprised at how many people are quite as confident in La Real's ability. I mean, not because I don't think La Real are a great team. They are, but it just is quite striking. I think where they are and what they've done this season and how they're playing at the moment, people are really quite confident.
Yeah, and I'm confident of them.
Hmm.
That said, I'm going to start this with the proviso we always put in place with this round of the Champions
yes.
League. We are a very long way away from these games. What is it? The 16th of February, I think, is the first round of knockout games in the Champions League. And there are a lot of teams who will look very different then.
Mm.
But the reason I mention this now, I mean, apart from the fact that you just have to mention it anyway as your kind of standard proviso, the reason I mention it now is that I think if there is a team that is likely to look much better in 2 months' time than they do now, it's PSG.
Mm.
Because I have quite a lot of faith in Luis Enrique.
Mm.
Because I think what he's trying to do is a total overhaul of PSG. And so I think the potential impact of added time, I think, is greater there than possibly almost any other club. Because I think there are some signs of it going roughly in the right direction anyway.
Mm.
And so there's a bit of me that thinks, I suspect that PSG will actually be quite good by then.
Mm.
Now, I don't know if quite good is properly good. But, you know, they are the team that if you finish first in the group, you didn't want, probably. They're probably of the teams that finish second, the one that you'd say, really don't fancy them. Or maybe them and Inter. And this is a funny thing, actually. Maybe them, Inter and Napoli. And so you look at it from a Spanish team's point of view and think, well, this isn't a great draw, really, is it?
Mm.
I must admit, I don't have a huge amount of faith right now in Barcelona.
Mm.
So I'm not very confident then going through. I have a lot of faith in Real Sociedad, but I'm not entirely confident of them going through. And I'm not sure what to think about Atletico.
Mm.
Because, you know, they've lost three in a row away from home now. But they've won 20 in a row at home. And again, though, this is 2 months away.
Yeah.
What happens if Griezmann gets injured? There's lots of things. My suspicion is that we get half of these Spanish teams will go through, mm. but only half of them.
Okay.
And I think Real Madrid will be one of them. And my doubt is who the other one is.
All right. Well, I wasn't going to ask you for a prediction, but you've given us one. So that's good. That's good.
Head on the block.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Listen, we've got to go. But coming up this week is a full round of midweek Christmas fixtures before the Christmas break in La Liga. So on Tuesday, you've got Rayo Valencia, Atletico Madrid against Getafe and Granada against Sevilla. Then on Wednesday, Barcelona Almeria, Athletic Club Las Palmas, Villarreal Celta. And then on Thursday, Betis Girona, Cádiz La Real, Mallorca Osasuna and Alaves against Real Madrid. And on Saturday, the final game of the year is Atletico Madrid against Sevilla, that rescheduled game. So lots of Christmas football before the Christmas break here in La Liga. I think this is our final pod of the year, Sid, because I sure as hell I'm not going to be here next week to do a pod with you. So let's.
What is next week? Next Monday? What day is it? Is it Christmas Day itself?
It's not. It is Christmas Day.
Yeah, so it's Christmas Day. We will not be doing a podcast,
but we'll be back on the first of December, the 1st of January, rather. Maybe. We'll be back.
Maybe.
We'll be podding. But not
I got slightly week. Caught out by the rescheduling of Atletico against Sevilla.
Yes.
I had already arranged my flight back when I was asked to cover that. I thought, sorry about this.
Well,
no can do.
You can't do it, obviously. Good. I'm glad you didn't reschedule a flight to cover that. Good.
No.
You thought about it.
So my last game of the year will be at Saint Mamès, which should be fun.
Oh, magnificent. You're going up on Wednesday. Fantastic. Enjoy. Yeah. Enjoy. We'll speak soon, amigos. Thanks for the support as ever. Thanks for listening to us throughout the year. We love Spanish football and we love sharing our passion with you guys. Thanks for joining us. If you want some more content, patreon.com/TSFP. And if you don't want to pay for it, all right, we understand. We'll do more free podcasts in the new year. Adios.
Cheerio.